This morning I'll be reading from John 8, verses 12 through 20, and preaching on the subject, Why God Became Man, and the answer, To Be Light. Listen as I read God's Word from John chapter 8, beginning with verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. And Jesus answered and said to them, Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I came from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet, if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Then they said to him, Where is your father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my father. If you had known me, you would have known my father also. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Continuing a brief series on the incarnation, especially focusing on the answer to the question, why did God become man? In the series, I plan to look at the incarnation from a variety of different perspectives and angles. I want to know the incredible depth of the work of God on behalf of sinners. I started last time by answering the question, why did God become man, with this answer, that he came to destroy the works of the devil. Today I'll consider the answer that Jesus gave in John chapter 12, verse 46. There he said, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. He also spoke here in chapter 8 when he says, I am the light of the world. The themes of light and darkness are ones that do run throughout all of Scripture. You can find it from the very beginning pages of the Bible in Genesis. There God said, let there be light. You can find it on the closing pages of the Bible, in the book of Revelation. There the New Jerusalem has no need of the sun or the moon or the stars because Jesus is its light. So we're going to consider the subject of light today and how he came into the world. And the idea that I want to get across is that Jesus has come into the world as light. Therefore, do not remain in the darkness of untruth and unbelief. By way of introduction, I want to concentrate on how light represents truth in Scripture. It represents some other things, but on several occasions, and especially by the Apostle John, he uses and quotes Jesus in a way that shows that the coming of Jesus brings truth and brings the light of truth into the darkness of a world of untruth and of unbelief. It's especially seen in this passage in John 8 when Jesus says, I am the light of the world. It is it's a stunning and majestic claim that Jesus gives here. He is claiming to be the truth that comes from God, the light that comes from him that reveals the Father perfectly. Jesus speaks elsewhere about coming from the bosom of the Father and of his coming to reveal the Father. And that's why Jesus can say to the Pharisees who say, Where is the Father? Who is your Father? He can say, if you knew me, you would know the Father, because he came to reveal the Father. Now, the Pharisees were looking for an earthly father. And they were wondering where Joseph was, who at this point in Jesus' life is no longer living. But Jesus is speaking of his heavenly Father and speaks about how he came to reveal him. That truth also leads us to the idea of light being life-giving. It is the light of life, says Jesus. And the claim that Jesus makes that he is the light of the world is a claim that says that he is the only way of life, the only way of salvation. What Jesus is claiming here is that he is not only an authoritative messenger of God, but that he is the giver of life. Bring those two things together and you come to the conclusion that Jesus himself is not just anointed by God as a prophet, but is God himself. He alone is the one who is able to speak with this authority, to speak truth, and to speak of life in this way. He is the divine Son of God. Only the divine Son of God could make such majestic assertions. And that's Jesus' claim here, that he is the light of the world. I'm going to come back to the idea of light as representing truth. But before I do that, light implies darkness as well. It implies something about man's condition. So I want to move to consider that darkness represents sinful ignorance and a rejection of Jesus. Darkness represents sinful ignorance and rejection of Jesus. This especially is revealed in this passage in John 8. When Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," the Pharisees rejected what Jesus said. They refused to even consider what Jesus said. They said to him, you're bearing witness of yourself, and your witness isn't true." Now, the Pharisees start off in a place that's okay. They say, "You're saying something about yourself." And they could have followed that up by saying, what verification do you have for your claims?" But that's not what the Pharisees said. Without any other knowledge themselves, they judged Jesus' statement to be untrue. You see, they're not speaking out of an application of knowledge. They're speaking out of their unbelief. It's appropriate to take what someone says about themselves and then examine it to find verification. But when the Pharisees speak, what they do is to reject Jesus Christ. This is the darkness in which they lived. A darkness that is of ignorance of Jesus, and even more important, their unbelief of who Jesus was. John describes this culture of unbelief and really man's condition earlier in his gospel. In fact, he opens up this gospel with words of darkness and light. In John chapter 1, he says of Jesus, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Then a little bit later, speaking of Jesus again, "That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him." You should remember that John starts his gospel by calling Jesus the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It refers to Jesus being fully God and fully man. He was fully God before his incarnation. He existed before he was born. He was with God in the beginning, and he is God. And then he became what he was not before. He became man. Again, using John's word, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only Son of God, full of grace and truth. So what John's describing is Jesus as the second person of the Trinity, becoming man. He came as light shining in the darkness. But the darkness did not comprehend the light. They did not comprehend. They did not accept Jesus. What John is talking about is the natural condition of all mankind. We are by nature spiritually dark, spiritually blind in and of ourselves. It's tempting to think that the Pharisees did not believe because they weren't convinced. But what John and what Jesus say is that it's the other way around, that they're not convinced because they don't believe. You might say it this way: they didn't see because they couldn't see. They were blind. That explains their dismissal of Jesus. They were, and really all men are, born in this darkness. You could say that we are born blind because of our sin. In fact, mankind's natural condition is even worse than being blind. Paul uses the description of being dead in our trespasses and sins. It's small wonder then that people don't respond to Jesus. They are blind to the light. They are dead in sin. And that has been our condition before Jesus' entrance in our lives. And that helps you understand why Jesus spoke the way he did to those who are living in darkness. John says that the light came into the world, the darkness did not comprehend it. The light came into the world, the very light that created the world, and yet the world rejected Jesus Christ. It's a sobering assessment if you take to heart this terrible blindness and the results that that brings in life. Our shame is great if we reject Jesus Christ. The sinful nature can stand in the very presence of God in the light of day and still say there is no God. Children, imagine trying to convince your brothers and sisters that there is no sun. All the while, opening your shades in the morning to let the sun come in, and going out and playing by the light of the sun, and shielding your eyes because the sun gets too bright. You enjoy all of the benefits of the sun, but you could argue there is no sun. And that just doesn't make sense, does it? But such is the folly and the shame of mankind's natural condition without Christ. We enjoy all of the benefits of being a creature of God, but reject him. We enjoy the benefits like rationality, the benefits of order and morality. Those are things that our society depends upon. and yet can blindly argue against God's existence. Without God, those ideas of rationality, order, and morality very quickly decay into meaninglessness. But this is what John says about the darkness of mankind, that Jesus came into the world, and though he made the world did not acknowledge him. And shame is heaped upon shame, because not only does mankind suppress the light and truth of God's existence that's plain in the natural world around us, but also the world refuses to accept Jesus as the Son of God. They refuse to accept that he is the exact representation of the Father. Jesus came into the world, but the world rejected him. And the world continues to reject him, even to this day. Darkness represents this sinful ignorance and the rejection of Jesus Christ. So let's go back to the light now. Let's go back to the light and Jesus as the light of the world. In this context, you will see the truth, especially, that is represented by Jesus Christ. And there are two aspects of the truth that I want to call to your attention. When the Pharisees dismiss Jesus in his testimony, Jesus answers, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going." He speaks of the truth of his testimony and gives reason for that. "My witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going." And there are two aspects about the truth that come to light in these statements. The first is that I'm going to phrase it kind of in a funny way, that the truth is true. The truth is true. Jesus speaks of knowing who he was, knowing where he came from. He knew he came from heaven. He knew he would depart to go to heaven, meaning that he knew that he was fully God. The truth has a similar character about it. There's truth that comes to us that is absolute. It's true because it's true. In a sense, it stands on its own. And that truth just shines out like a light in an incredible way. Imagine that you're out camping with your family, and your flashlight has batteries that are dying. You know what that's like? Your light slowly gets dimmer and dimmer, and it kind of flickers, and you might shake your flashlight to make sure it comes on. That's what some people say about truth, is that there's an uncertainty about it, that it's weak or flickering. But then imagine if you're out camping and your dad comes out of the tent and he has a brand new mega LED light and it's all charged, and he turns it on and this beam of light stabs out into the darkness. They could signal astronauts on the space station with it. It's so bright. That light is true. And there's no wavering or flickering about it whatsoever. And when Jesus talks about his origin, when he talks about his coming from heaven and from the Father, he's speaking about something that is unwavering, a truth that is true. I said it might be funny to phrase it that way, but it's even funnier when you hear people talk about truth that is relative. By that they mean what you say is true might be different than what you say is true. And which is right? Well, you're both right. And by the way, I have a truth that's different than that. Three different lights, three different truths. When Jesus came, he came and proclaimed a true truth, which casts a certain light on the truth of God's Word and about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It means that you can trust what Jesus says. The gospel comes from Christ. It's that light that stabs out into the darkness and penetrates unbelief and ignorance. It stabs out into the darkness and shows that Jesus is the only way of salvation, and that you do well to pay attention to this message. If you find that you keep bumping your shins on the sharp sorrows of life without God, and if you keep beating your head against the meaninglessness of life, then stop. Look around and see that there is a light that shines in the darkness. It's the light of Jesus Christ who came from heaven. The second aspect that is closely related to that is that the truth is one, or the truth is unified. Jesus said that he and his Father are one. In verse 16 he says, "My judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me." And then to answer the Jews about two witnesses, he says, "I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness as well." Along with true truth, you could say that truth has to be consistent. There has to be a unity in what is said to be true. Truth cannot be one thing to one person and another thing to another person. Truth has to be true, and it has to be consistent. It has to be unified. When I have the chance to speak to those who are of a different faith, or especially that are members of a cult, this is a place where I challenge them. I challenge them on the area of truth, especially as it relates to Jesus Christ. They often have a different revelation. And many of them say that that other revelation is a companion document to the Bible. And that's where you have a place to question them. Their new revelation, they say, comes from the same God. But you can ask them, then why isn't it consistent with the Bible? What their new revelation says is different than the Bible. Over and over again, you can point out the inconsistencies that rise up in their religion, their false religion, because it does not match what Jesus says in the Bible. And especially, it does not match the Jesus of the Bible. Their Jesus will be different. And there's inconsistency there. And in John 8, Jesus speaks of the union that he has with the Father, that he and the Father are in agreement in all things. It's an agreement that is part of the essential unity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the light of truth will always have this inner consistency. Jesus came to be that light. He came as promised from even before the foundation of the world. even before God made the world, he covenanted within the Godhead to be a savior. The Lord determined to redeem a people to himself. And to accomplish this, the Father and the Son covenanted together. Isaiah strikingly calls this covenant as God sending Jesus to be a light to the world. Listen to Isaiah 49:6. He says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." This is Jesus. He came according to that promise. He came according to the promises given in the Old Testament. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And he came and said, "I am the light of the world." So what does this mean for you as you consider the light of truth? There is one light, one unified, true truth. The light that we have in Scripture, the light of Jesus Christ, isn't muddied or uncertain. It is crystal clear, and it points to the one and the only way of salvation. You could think of it in this way, as a multiple choice question. How do you get to God? Answer A: all roads lead to God. Answer B: many roads lead to God. Answer C: one road leads to God. Or answer D: all of the above. Even though they can't hang together. All of the above. It's the all of the above that the world wants to say is truth. But C says there is one way to God. There is one road, one absolute truth, one light. There is one Messiah. There is one who reveals himself and reveals the Father. There's one testimony that agrees with Scripture: Jesus Christ. And he alone is the light of the world. To know him is to know the Father. So, what path will you take? Will you continue to stumble around in the darkness of spiritual blindness and ignorance? The truth stabs out into the darkness with a blinding light. I pray that you would walk in that light, even as he himself is the light. Repent of your sins and ask God to enlighten your eyes and your heart so that you'd recognize Jesus. Let me address this especially to the children. Your parents are leading you to recognize the light of Christ. It might be tempting for you to grow up and say, "I'm not so sure about what my parents said. I'd like to try out some other things." In doing so, you turn a blind eye to the light of Jesus Christ. In doing so, you refuse to recognize or to comprehend the light of Jesus. I pray that you would recognize that temptation and from an early age recognize the light that is in Jesus, the truth that he brings. I pray that you will always sing, "The Lord will light my candle. The Lord is my light and saving strength." I pray that you will follow that truth, knowing that Jesus has delivered you out of the domain of darkness and brought you into his glorious kingdom, the kingdom of his light. Jesus came as light into the world. Therefore, do not give yourself over to spiritual ignorance and blindness. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you came to a people living in darkness. Lord, we ourselves were such a people until you came to us. By the power of your Spirit, you gave us eyes to see and a heart to believe. We thank you, God, that you have made us to see the light. Just like that man born blind, we can say, all I know is that once I was blind, but now I see. Lord, you have made us to see. God, I pray that you would protect us from the lies of the world, and the spiritual blindness and darkness that they come from. I pray that we would not fall to the temptation that says that many roads lead to you, or that there are other religions that all lead to the same place. Instead, Lord, I pray that we would recognize the truth, that we would recognize that light shining in a dark place, and that by your grace we would hold to it, and we would walk in that light all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I close by singing of the coming of that light and how it guides our path from Psalm 56, Selection B. Psalm 56, Selection B. Please stand to praise God.